Radio Prague News. The Visegrad Group states have said the solution to the EU's debt crisis must not undermine growth or hurt the single market. The lower house on Friday failed to vote on a bill on the restitution of church property. And the finance ministry wants to get the controversial privatization of the Mostecka Uhelna coal mining company annulled and is seeking damages from its former managers. The Visegrad Group states have said the solution to the EU's debt crisis must not undermine growth or hurt the common market. At their session in Prague on Friday, the heads of government of the Czech Republic, Slovakia, Poland and Hungary stressed the need for long-term, far-reaching changes which would gradually restore confidence on EU financial markets. Meeting ahead of next week's EU summit in Brussels, the Visegrad Group warned against quick solutions in the form of a hastily conceived fiscal union, which EU members would be asked to support without closer inspection. The lower house on Friday failed to vote on a bill on the restitution of church property, now in its third reading, due to procrastination tactics employed by the opposition parties. The opposition Social Democrats, who strongly opposed the proposed legislation, conducted a protracted debate in order to prevent a possible vote on the bill in the course of this parliament session. Their aim was to get the vote postponed until July, after which they plan to veto it in the Senate, where they have a majority, meaning that it would return to the lower house in September. The opposition's argument is that the ruling parties would have a more difficult time pushing the bill through on the eve of the Senate and regional elections, in view of strong public opposition to it. Under the draft legislation, the Czech state would return some 56% of the physical property worth around 75 billion crowns. For the rest, Czech churches and religious societies would receive some 60 billion crowns in compensation over a period of 30 years. The finance ministry wants to get the controversial privatization of the Mostecka Uhelná coal mining company annulled and is seeking to receive damages from six former managers who siphoned close to 7 billion crowns from the company. The police have accused the men of insider trading and abuse of power. They are suspected of illegally taking over 3 billion crowns from the company in 1998 and subsequently using the money to buy its shares. Paradoxically, it was the Swiss authorities who launched an investigation into the company's privatization in 2005. South Moravian Regional State Attorney Petr Cofal has announced his decision to resign from office after the Supreme Administrative Court ruled that he had made a serious mistake by deciding on a case that concerned him. Cofal went out of his way to deal with an anonymous complaint against himself for parking his private car in a parking lot for official vehicles. The judge said Cofal had abused his position to sweep the case under the carpet. The Czech Anti-Monopoly Office has fined the city of Liberec, which hosted the World Ski Championships in 2009, 6.5 million crowns for irregularities in around 70 tenders relating to the event. A frequent transgression was the illegal passing of tenders. City councillors have said they would appeal the decision. The fine is one of the biggest ever levied in this country. The Czech national team on Thursday lost to quarter-final opponent Portugal after Real Madrid forward Cristiano Ronaldo scored the only goal of the game in the 97th minute. Portugal is now the first side to enter the semi-finals. In related news, Czech footballer Milan Baroš announced that Thursday's match was his last for the country's national team. Following the defeat at the hands of the Portuguese team, Baroš told his teammates about the decision, which was met with a long round of applause for the parting football star. There'd been speculation that the 30-year-old would quit the national team. Baroš had been the target of severe criticism for his performance, especially against Russia, which beat the Czech Republic 4-1 in the Euro 2012 opening match. Finally, a quick look at the weather. It should be clear to partly cloudy with scattered showers and afternoon highs reaching 26 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome. You are listening to Radio Prague, the International Service of Czech Radio, and my name is Sarah Barufka. Coming up in today's program, the Czech Republic was defeated by Portugal in the Euro 2012 quarterfinals. We have all the latest business news, and then later on in the arts, we take you to a Prague institution, the Semaphore Theater. All that and more coming up, so do stay with us. The Czech national football team lost 1-0 to Portugal in the quarterfinals of Euro 2012 in Warsaw on Thursday and was knocked out of the tournament. In the game, the Czechs showed the best performance at the championships but failed to stop Portugal's star Ronaldo from sending them home. Thursday's match was also the Czech striker Milan Baroš's last appearance for the national side. Jan Richter was following the tournament and joins me now in the studio. Jan, did the Czechs put up a good fight in that quarterfinal game?
I think, Sarah, that they did, especially in the first half when they really controlled the game. The Czechs were surprisingly good in midfield, where the injured playmaker Tomáš Rosický was replaced by Vladimír Darida, for whom this was the first appearance at a tournament and only third for the national team. The Portuguese at the start seemed a little too complacent, to me at least, and the Czechs were getting quite easily into their penalty area. But unfortunately, the Czechs did not create any opportunities to actually score. They didn't take a single shot at the Portuguese goal throughout the game. They were close a couple of times, for instance, when Darida passed the ball from the right in front of the goal in the 18th minute, but Milan Baroš narrowly missed it. In the second half, however, the Portuguese took over and put the Czechs under increasing pressure. One wave really after another was rolling on Petr Cech in the Czech goal, who showed some great saves, but Portugal star Cristiano Ronaldo hit two goal posts before he scored some 10 minutes before the end of the game. The Czechs did their best to prevent that from happening, but as defender Tomáš Sivok said after the game, Ronaldo is a world-class player.
I think we managed well in the first half, but in the second we were running out of strength. Ronaldo is one of the two best players in the world, along with Lionel Messi, which he proved when he scored with a header from the edge of the box. He is a complex player, difficult to defend, and he's one of the best in the world.
That was Czech team defender Tomáš Sivok speaking there. So, Jan, how would you say did the Czechs do overall in the tournament?
Again, I think that they did quite well. Some commentators said the team, in fact, reached its limit at the Euro 2012. The national side had a dismal start when they suffered a 4-1 defeat by Russia in their first game, but they improved considerably in the two other games in the Group A against Greece and Poland, which the Czechs won. A huge setback, of course, came when the team's playmaker Tomáš Rosický injured his foot in the game against Greece and could not play in the decisive game against Portugal. But as I said, I think the Czechs played their best in the quarterfinal game, but unfortunately it was not good enough to keep them going. Coach Michal Bílek said he considered the team's participation in the quarterfinals a success.
Teď už jsem spokojený, protože jsme
Now I'm quite content because we managed to put together a good team over the last couple of years. It's a really great bunch of guys. I'm glad we made it to the quarterfinals, also because the first match was quite unfortunate and we got ourselves in a difficult situation. But the team showed great character and we made it to the quarterfinal after all.
National team coach Michal Bílek speaking there. In the future, the Czech team will have to do without striker Milan Baroš, who said after Thursday's game that was his last appearance for the national side. Why do you think, Jan, did he decide to end his international career?
Well, the story of Milan Baroš and the national team is quite complicated and quite unfortunate, I have to say. Milan Baroš is the second best scorer for the team. He scored 41 goals in some 93 international games, but he seemed to have lost his form a long time ago. This season, for instance, he only scored once, and that was against Liechtenstein, which is a very, of course, poor quality team, in a qualification game for the Euro 2012 in November. Then some tension developed between Baroš and Czech fans, who did not really like his way of playing. They thought that he fell or dived way too often and really didn't score. And Baroš also then stopped talking to reporters because they criticized him, so there was lots of tension there. His career in the national team does end on a rather bitter note, but I'm sure it will also be a relief for coach Bilek, who was criticised for using Baroš in every single game, including the game against Portugal, and all the games at the Euro 2012 in which Baroš did not score. Many fans, I think, would also like to see the coach himself go, because his coaching was not very successful, as we saw in the games against Russia and indeed Portugal, when he only sent in another forward after the Portuguese scored, which was way too late. But the Czech Football Association gave Michal Bílek a new two-year contract before the Euro tournament even began, so he will be in charge of the national team for the upcoming qualification for the World Cup in Brazil in 2014.
Thanks for that assessment regarding the Euro 2012 to Jan Richter. And even though we did not make it into the semifinals, I think that the Czech team had a good run and we all had fun. So let's leave the game pitch and move straight to the marketplace when Jan Wellinger joins me here in the studio with the latest business news.
Thank you, Sarah. Czechs bought a total of 13.8 billion state savings bond units worth 15.3 billion crowns during the spring bond issue, the finance ministry revealed on Friday. According to the ministry, investors showed the biggest interest in 1.5-year discount bonds, of which they purchased 7.5 billion units. Most orders were made between the 1,000 and 100,000 crown mark, the finance minister Miroslav Kalousek confirmed. He said the bond issues had attracted mainly middle-income earners, adding that an overwhelming majority of those were more than 50 years old and had invested a part of their life savings in the state bonds. Unlike the previous pilot issue last autumn, public universities, professional chambers, public corporations, towns and regions were also able to buy in this time around.
The Czech Republic could lose roughly 22 billion crowns in EU subsidies in 2012 unless the European Commission resumes payments of subsidies to the country by the year's end, the Czech news agency writes, citing a report by the Ministry for Regional Development. According to ČTK, 6 out of the 18 programs administered by Czech authorities have been described as risky. The ministry report is to be discussed by the cabinet next week. The threat to Czech programs is related to EU rules under which it is necessary to draw from EU funds by the end of every year. When officials fail to do so, undrawn money is returned to the EU budget. In March, following a recommendation by the European Commission, the Czech government halted the sending of applications for subsidy payments to Brussels due to discrepancies in the Czech subsidy system. The EC originally gave the cabinet until the end of June to correct the situation.
More than 60% of Czechs are in favor of further development of nuclear energy in the country, a new poll by the STEM agency suggests, indicating that doubts over nuclear power raised by last year's disaster at the Fukushima nuclear power plant in Japan have continued to go down. Support for nuclear energy among Czechs, however, has not reached previous levels of support, such as in 2009, when more than 70% were in favor. The number of those who are confident that electricity production by nuclear power plants could be covered by other sources has meanwhile decreased. Fewer than half of those polled replied that other sources would be sufficient. More than three-quarters of Czechs also fear energy dependency, and another factor that STEM took into account with regards to growing support for nuclear energy in the country.
The Czech Republic is the most attractive country for foreign investors for business activities in Central and Eastern Europe, a survey conducted by the Czech-German Chamber of Industry and Trade in conjunction with German economic chambers in 14 countries suggests. The Czech Republic ranked first despite the fact that it is the least transparent when it comes to public tenders. It is the 7th time in a row the country has placed first, neighboring Poland placed second and Slovakia third. According to the survey, more than 80% of companies would again invest in Central and Eastern Europe and 85% of them would choose the Czech Republic again.
And finally, this week there was good news, at least as far as motorists at the pump in the Czech Republic were concerned, is that fuel prices, including diesel, have continued to fall. On average, Fuel prices fell by 30 hellers to 35.54 crowns per litre. New data released by the Czech Statistical Office on Friday revealed. The most popular fuel, Natural 95, fell to an average of 36.18 crowns per litre, while diesel fell to 35.36. The drop in prices, analysts said, related to the current price of oil and the strengthening crown.
Thank you, Jan Wellinger, for the business news. And now we leave the realm of business and move on to the arts when Christian Falvey takes us to the Semaphore Theater in this edition of The Arts.
Já zpívám píseň o rose, která se v trávě špití.
The Semaphore Theatre, one of the oldest continuous traditions of modern Czech entertainment, is still putting out new performances after 53 years of existence. The latest concoction of multi-genre comedy theatre is Kam se podjela Valeria, or Where Did Valerie Go?, which has four pre-premieres this week and next before the real premiere in September. The heart and soul of the theatre, Jitka Molavcová and Jiří Suchý, tell us what we can expect.
Tato komedie je z prostředí hyperaktivního.
It takes place in an institute for the hyperactive, where Mr. and Mrs. Toval put their daughter Valerie for re-education. But Valerie got lost at some point, and I won't tell you the twist because that would spoil it. It's a musical comedy, so there are lots of songs, including one about throwing authorities out of windows, which I think will resonate with the audience.
Zoru budou diváci reagovat.
Když jsem nedávno zrovna si říkal, kolikátou hru už to máme na repertoáru, tak jsem...
Just recently, I tried to figure out how many plays we have in our repertoire, and if I reckon with three premieres a year, that means 150 premieres in 50 years. So in 53 years, maybe we've done 160 plays. And since we only do our own work, it was up to me to write all of them.
To je pro nás velice určující.
The tireless 80-year-old comedy theatre extraordinaire Jiří Suchý, who founded the famous theatre on the Balustrade in 1958, and Semaphore, or Traffic Light, a year later. Semaphore is not your everyday theatre. Most of its classic productions are neither dramas nor musicals. Comedy, song and dance, absurdity and a love for lovely ladies, essentially in that order, are the central features of a Semaphore production. But it's not just cabaret either. Originally an acronym for Sedm Malých Forem, the name Semaphore, aside from the stoplight meaning, refers to the original intention of presenting seven forms of performance art: film, poetry, jazz, puppetry, dance, fine art, and cabaret. That grand scheme was abandoned after a few seasons due to the excessive demands it put on the actors, but Where Did Valerie Go? Shows there are still lots of invention, as well as new demands on actors.
Vždycky chci překvapit publikum něčím úplně novým. Někdy máme hru pro tři lidi.
I always want to surprise the public with something new. Sometimes we have a play with three people, sometimes with 25. Sometimes the theme is Erben's bouquet, sometimes it's a chamber comedy, but I want to do something different every time. And this time I was thinking that we have too little physical exertion, so I thought up a play around an institute for hyperactive individuals who get on other people's nerves. So for that purpose, we had the actors trained in acrobatics and took on some especially physically competent people.
Kteří jsou pohybově víc než zdatní.
Měla vlasy samou lokmu. Ráno přistoupila k oknu.
And so it is that Where Did Valerie Go? Begins with actors flying around the stage and bouncing off the walls as they sing and dance and speak. But mind you, there's no playing in a proper Semaphore play.
Ono to vlastně v pravým slova smyslu hra to není. Já jako kdybych...
They're not plays in the strictest sense of the word. I would fail as a dramatist because of everything I've written. No one ever cares about the story. They like the songs, the fun, the humor, and we keep them entertained with those things. Our visitors never care how the hero ends up or how the bad guy is punished. They laugh at both of them, And in Semaphore, the humor is a substitute for drama.
The reason why Semaphore is such a different kind of theater emerges entirely from the personality and predilections of Jiří Suchý, and at least in part from the way he started out in the 1950s, basically just a kid who was dying to get on the stage.
I was a complete anti-talent starting out. That's not modesty, it's the holy truth. An amateur theater group even asked me to stop coming after a few rehearsals. But I longed to act on stage, so I started a theater of my own that I couldn't get kicked out of. And gradually I got better, so I don't collide with the other actors on the stage anymore and can be understood when I speak. But it's not acting in the strictest sense. When I got the Thalia Award, the highest accolade for theater acting, I said in my speech that I am a very problematic actor, as I can only play myself and no other role.
Hope then for those who yearn to act but haven't the knack. Today the name Jiří Suchý is rarely spoken without a superlative before it, and no one can doubt the incredible mark he and his theaters have left on theater production in Central Europe. Next to the great man is also a great woman, one who has been with Semaphore since 1970, who young Czechs know from childhood, thanks to her many television roles for children, and who's earned the highest accolades in serious drama as well, Jitka Molavcová.
Já jsem od dětství přála dělat divadlo. Přála jsem si být herečkou.
Even in my childhood, I wanted to be an actress. When they said, what do you want to be when you grow up, little girl? I would say, if I can't be an actress, then I don't care. Fate was kind enough to let me become an actress here in Semaphore, where Mr. Suchý and Jiří Schlitter had invented this blend of music, comedy and poetry. And if I had not dropped anchor in Semaphore, then I would have looked for that combination of music, comedy and poetry elsewhere. Mr. Suchý has never left this path. It fascinates me. I help him with it, and I think I've stayed because we believe in each other. He believes in me as an actress, and I in him as a writer. We've walked this path now for 43 years, and we hope we'll continue for another 50.
Ještě takových 50 let budeme kráčet.
Když měsíc rozlije světlo své po kraji a hvězdy řeknou, že čas je jít vstát, pramínek vlasů jí ustřihnu podají.
Today, Semaphore, like theaters all over Europe, is contending with a financial crisis. Specifically, that means a lack of 4 million crowns that it needs to survive. Prominent plays like The Bouquet and Lysistrata had to be discontinued because of their huge casts, and Jiří Suchý is now writing plays for 3 instead of 23. Every visitor, he says, is now a sponsor. But as Jitka Molavcová says, more than money or anything else, it's Jiří Suchý himself who makes Semaphore what it is.
Já si myslím, kdyby pana Suchého přestalo bavit psát a hrát.
If Mr. Suchý ever gets bored of writing and acting, then there won't be any Semaphore anymore. But maybe new young artists will come about and make their own theatre that draws on Semaphore, just like Suchý and Schlitter were influenced by the Prague Free Theatre and by Voskovec, Verich and Jaroslav Ježek and founded the Semaphore Theatre, there will be others who will be influenced by us. I believe there are very many talented young people who are on the same wave as we are and have the humor inside them, and I keep my fingers crossed for them.
A mají ten humor v sobě a tak jim držím palce.
That was the well-known Semaphore actress Jitka Molavtseva speaking to Christian Falvey for this report. Thanks for that, Christian. And I'm afraid that brings us to the end of our regular program here at Radio Prague. But of course, we are rounding that off for you with ABC of Czech, our popular Czech language learning series brought to you by Pavla Horáková.
Hello and welcome to the ABC of Czech and its current series focusing on Czech food and cuisine. Today I'm joined by
Zuzana Durčáková.
It is high summer now here in the Czech Republic, a time when all sorts of fruit are ripening and ready for picking. So today we'll concentrate on summer fruit,
letní ovoce,
and related vocabulary. Gardens are full of color now as various berries are just ready for picking. Most often you will find strawberries,
jahody,
raspberries,
maliny,
less often blackberries,
ostruženy,
but a lot of red currants,
červený rybíz,
and black currants,
černý rybíz.
Another traditional garden berry is the gooseberry,
angrešt,
which now seems to be losing popularity. All those can be eaten fresh or preserved in various forms. Summer is also the time of forest berries. Apart from raspberries and blackberries, there are
borůvky,
blueberries, which get their Czech name from the pine tree,
borovice.
They are abundant, especially in higher altitudes, and can be eaten fresh, sprinkled with sugar, or preserved. And of course, there are wild strawberries,
lesní jahody,
which translates as forest or wood strawberries. They are a real delicacy with sugar and fresh cream. August is also the only time when you can enjoy summer apples,
letní jablka.
Small green apples which taste lovely and fresh but don't keep and often go bad when they are still on the tree. Generally, it's impossible to buy these apples precisely because their life is so short. Even if they resist worms and fruit rot, they get flowery soon.
Moučná jablka.
You can only get them from your own or other people's garden, and that's why their taste is so treasured and unique. It conjures up memories of summers spent in the countryside. These apples are sometimes called
padavky,
from the verb
padat,
to fall, because they fall from the apple tree before they are picked. And that's it for today. Thanks for listening, and till next time.
Dobrou chuť.
Bon appétit.
Pavla Horáková with ABC of Czech wrapping up Radio Prague's English show for today. And everything you have heard on the show today, you can also find online at our website radio.cz. And there you can also look through a huge archive of other programs we've done in the past in both audio form and in text form. You can also sign up for a free email newsletter about the Czech Republic and news happening in this country. And you can use our podcasting. If you have anything to share with us, we were always glad to hear from you. You can either contact us at our email address, english@radio.cz, on Facebook, where we have a profile, or if you prefer writing letters, you can do so to Vinohradská 12-12099, Prague 2, and we also have a Twitter account. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, but until then, from myself, Sarah Borůvka, and from all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for listening, and bye-bye.